Whether you are in a situation where you're trying to get your direct reports to take more ownership for their work, or you are seeking to gain alignment with a peer, this episode is for you. I'm Terry Schmidt, leadership coach at Stronger to Serve Coaching and Team Building, and this is the Strong Leader Serve podcast. So how's your fall going so far? Last weekend, we celebrated my son's 18th birthday, which in itself was a bit emotional for all of us. But it also made me think about my mom, with whom my son shared a birthday. She was a wonderful woman who definitely knew how to lead. She knew how to use her talents to make a way for others to use theirs, even though she was doing it in an elementary school and not in the corporate environment. But as I was thinking about her, I remembered with a smile on my face how one day, probably when I was about 8, I told her that I didn't ever want her to say again the words, "because I said so." I hated those words. And to her credit, she never again said those words to me. It was really her fault why I hated those words anyway. You see, she and my dad treated me with a great deal of respect ever since I could remember. Sure, they had high expectations, and yes, there were definitely boundaries and discipline. In fact, you may have heard about my dad's favorite parenting words, consistency and follow through. But those boundaries were always paired with respect for me as an individual, trust that I would do the right thing, and the support that I needed at that age to be able to do the right thing. They influenced my actions through their clear communication of expectations, respect, and support. Could they have chosen instead to influence through authority? Could they have relied on "because I said so" when they were trying to get me to do something like clean my room, instead of talking about the benefits to me and them it achieved when it was clean? Sure. After all, they had the positional power, not to mention I was completely dependent on them financially. But would the attitude, skills, and motivation to excel have remained once I left their care? Maybe. But it was much more enduring in the way that they went about it. This story came up because I've been reflecting on some common challenges that I've been hearing from leaders recently. Two primary ones I mentioned in the opening to this episode: the challenge of your team members not taking ownership for their work, and the challenge of aligning with a peer when the two of you are on opposite sides of an issue. And I wonder if many of the challenges and frustrations stem from how we approach communication when someone doesn't seem to agree with us. We know we need to influence them. What does that mean, though? In my mind, that influence lies along a spectrum, with persuasion techniques at one end and negotiation techniques at the other. Persuasion focuses on presenting the facts to convince someone that your way is the right way, whereas negotiation skills focus on developing a deep understanding of both your and the other party's desired outcomes and the reasons behind them, and then finding a way to arrive at a solution that both parties find acceptable. So take the example of the team member who is not taking ownership of their work. The persuading leader might tell them or imply that they have to take ownership because it is a requirement of their role, and if they don't, their performance review ratings will reflect their poor choices. In other words, "You need to do this because I said so." That leader is using their authority to influence. And what have I seen happen in those situations? The team member, who has likely not developed any intrinsic motivation to take more ownership of their work, leaves when the next opportunity comes along that has better extrinsic motivators. Maybe more pay, or simply relief from their boss who is operating from a "because I said so" mindset, making them feel devalued, disrespected, and unsupported. Authority-based influence does not drive lasting change. On the other end of the spectrum, if a leader approaches this challenge with a negotiation mindset and approach, they would be very clear in their mind about why it's important to them that this team member takes ownership for their work. Maybe to allow them to support the organization in the way the team was intended. Maybe so that the leader could focus on getting more high-visibility projects. The leader would also be clear on what their team member wants to achieve through her time at work and why that's important to her. The leader would be able to find out more information about what part of what they were asking for doesn't work for the team member and understand why, instead of just using the reasons that the leader thinks are important, like the performance reviews and job security, to persuade the team member. They would seek to gain insight to understand what motivates them so that they could find a solution that worked for both. For example, maybe the team member wants to take more ownership, but is strongly influenced by perfectionism. They don't feel comfortable with their name associated with anything that they don't feel is perfect. But they're also lacking clarity from the leader about the expectations at the beginning of projects, so they never feel like they're able to hit the mark with their work. Taking a negotiation approach and discovering what's important to the other party and why makes it much easier to influence them as you show them respect and have direction for how to best support them. The act of approaching conversations from this angle builds trust. The team member feels seen, and when they are able to make contributions to the team in their own way, driven by intrinsic motivation, they feel that they belong. And when team members feel seen, like they belong, and that they are in trusting relationships, in my experience, they stick around. I've seen the same approach have similar impacts in peer-to-peer relationships and in managing up. And in fact, we teach a communicating with impact model that incorporates this negotiation mindset and approach as part of our Learn by Doing Good team-building events. Team members and leaders learn an acronym that they can use to communicate with clarity and impact in a way that influences others and creates lasting change. But not only do they learn those collaboration skills that they can bring into the workplace using our return to work habit building resources, they learn them while they're supporting kids in low-income schools. I'll give you a preview of that acronym here so that you can start thinking about how you can lead more from a negotiation approach as opposed to a persuasion approach. The acronym is MASC. M-A-S-C. The M stands for motive. Be clear about the outcome you desire. The A stands for audience. What does your audience or the other party in the conversation want? Why? What might they have already been through that day? What might they like about what you're saying? And what might their objections be? The S stands for story or surprise. What might make your point of view more real or engaging for the person that you're talking to? And the C is the ever-important clarity. How can you make your message and your understanding of their position more clear? So I hope that's helpful for you as you face your daily challenges as a leader. Even if you don't have a lot of time to prepare for a conversation, spend the little time you do have getting clear on your motive or goals, and then thinking about what you know about the other person's motive and goals and how you can learn more. I found that even when I have positional authority, it's best if I resist the urge to use it. The times that I have created trusting relationships and long-lasting positive impact, it was because I took the time for at least a brief period of reflection, using many of the questions that I would think about if I in fact was entering into a negotiation. Until next time, lead with this quote by Ken Blanchard in mind. The key to successful leadership today is influence, not authority.